Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sunday was a special day. Rory McIlroy completes the career Grand Slam and wins the Masters. 11 years, 11 Masters, he tried to complete the career Grand Slam, and there were near misses and chokes and failures along the way, and the pressure continued to build. And then finally, he entered Sunday with a 2-shot lead. And I don't know how to describe Sunday exactly. I tried off the top of the show with my lead in, but to talk about Sunday at Augusta, an incredible day, an incredible finish. We bring in Mark Canizzaro from the New York Post down there at the Masters. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Laurie. It was a dizzying day out there. I mean, I'm sure, you know, as you described it in your open there, I wasn't sure if Rory was going to have enough. It's just, I made the argument leading into this tournament that I don't think any player in the history of major championship golf has entered a major with more pressure than Rory had on him coming in this week, because of the baggage, because he's playing so well, you know, and the burden of expectations, and because of the scar tissue, 2011, blowing a 4-shot lead in the final round and shooting 80. There just was so much. It was just, to me, it just felt too heavy going into the day. And you know, and he goes and double bogeys the first hole, and you're like, okay, well, here we go. And, you know, he like he did since Thursday when he messed up a really good round, he just kept coming back. And it was remarkable to watch, really. You know, to some degree, it looked like he's throwing the tournament away, you know, putting the ball in the water on 13 and whatnot, but he just kept coming back. And that, you know, quite frankly, the playoff hole encapsulated everything. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Justin Rose hit a tremendous shot in, approach shot into 18 on the playoff hole, and Rory bettered him and, you know, put it in tap-in distance and wins the thing. I mean, it was one of the most remarkable days of golf I've ever seen.
How many years have you been covering the Masters?
This is my 31st.
Have you ever had... We've seen players play better. I'm not saying that Rory played poorly. At times he was fantastic, and at times he made shots that were hard to explain.
Yeah.
But has there, in all the years that you've covered, was this the most exciting and nerve-wracking day of golf that you've covered?
You know, I think it was definitely the most nerve-wracking. You know, to me, one of the most exciting ones I ever saw was when Phil Mickelson won his first major in 2004, because he had an incredible back nine duel with Ernie Els that day. and it wasn't characterized by mistakes like the ones that Rory made, and but you know, it with credit due, bounced back from. But this was the most topsy-turvy, twisting roller coaster, you know, loop-de-loop, you know, kind of day. I mean, when he stood on 13, he, you know, he had a four-shot lead, a three-shot lead at that time. I mean, I think he bogeyed, but he had a three-shot lead, and he played it conservatively. He hit a three-wood down the fairway. And you have to understand, like, and I've been lucky enough to play Augusta a couple times, as, you know, with the media lottery. I, in fact, I did it last year. And the fairways are very generous there. I mean, if you've got to hit a pretty poor drive to miss a fairway. And the green at 13 is a very, very large green. There was no reason if Rory was going to miss anything with that third shot on 13, he's got to miss it long, not anywhere near the water. The water was the only place that he couldn't go. You know, but here's the credit I do give Rory. He admitted, he said his legs were like jelly on the first tee. He admitted he was nervous. And, you know, Rory is a very human, he shows his human side. You know, he shows his vulnerabilities. And that's kind of, to me, what attracts me to watching him play and watching him operate. I wrote a column for tomorrow's post, which actually I guess is today's post. I spoke to a sports psychologist tonight afterward, about 2 hours after we won, Bob Rotella, who's one of the most noted sports psychologists in golf. And he's been working in, and he had some really cool stuff. I mean, they sat every day before his round, they sat in a room in the caddy room, in the caddy barn, and he would go over his, you know, everything, you know, all the stuff they wanted to think about. You know, one of the things that Rory was talking about all week was the fact that he was just going to stay in his own bubble, not, you know, just not worry about the outside noise and whatnot. And what was kind of interesting was Bryson DeChambeau, who was in his group today, and obviously was, we thought was going to be a duel between the two of them, but he really fell off. DeChambeau said Rory didn't say a word to him the entire day. And the follow-up was, did you try to talk to me? He said he wouldn't talk to me. So, I mean, you know, and that's just a little bit rare. I mean, listen, guys are in their own zones and stuff, but that's, you know, to not talk for a four-plus hour round, even when maybe somebody was trying to engage speaking with you. But Rotella was just kind of, you know, he said the last thing he did when they, you know, before Rory went out to play was he gave him a big bear hug and just said, do what you know you can do. And, you know, at the end of the day, he did, and the resilience was really what won the day. I mean, this tournament is going to be known in history, you know, for Rory's resilience and his bounce back, because quite frankly, when he turned a four under round on Thursday into an even par round with double bogeys on 15 and 17, I thought maybe he was done. And Rotella told me, he said he had a conversation with him on Thursday night. He said, you know what? The best stories in sports are comeback stories. And you just set yourself up for a comeback story. And that was his message to him on Thursday night. It was pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah. The story of this, I think when we look at the story of this tournament, part of the story pairs with 2011. And when you think of the worst chokes in Masters history, you think of Greg Norman and you think of Rory McIlroy. And now to have had that level of pressure, and you mentioned it, that there's probably never been a player who teed off at the Masters with this much pressure, that everybody else, he becomes only the sixth man in history to complete that career Grand Slam, and that elusive fourth major that he just couldn't win at that, you know, that last tournament and that last venue being Augusta and the Masters, that the other five men who were all epic, historic figures in golf who did this, they all achieved it either on the first try, the career Grand Slam, or on the third try. Here was Rory McIlroy on the 11th try. And when you saw him win, what did you see in terms of the pressure and the release of pressure in that moment?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
I thought it was without question in 30 times I've been 31 today, seeing a player, you know, celebrate on 18. I thought it was the most visceral reaction to the end game I've ever seen. Tiger in 2019 was unbelievable. I mean, obviously, you know, people thought his career to be kind of done, and it was a wild kind of celebration. But this was, as Rory said, it wasn't necessarily joy. Initially, it was relief.
Yeah.
That did turn into joy, but the release, as you use the word properly there, was, I mean, it was, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I saw Ben Crenshaw, you know, cry, and, I was obviously at 2011. Rory's a younger guy then, certainly much less experienced. He just melted down. This was different. And I just all week long, he was trying to deflect, you know, he kept saying, you know, listen, it's a good thing I don't have, people were asking about 2011. It's just natural, you know, going into the final round there, you know, last night into today, tonight. And, you know, he just kept saying, hey, you know, it's a good thing I don't have a good memory. I don't really know what I did the night before, blah, blah, blah. He knows exactly every single thing he did the night before. And you know, when it all came out, you know, obviously afterward, he's very, very candid about the pressure that built to him. He talked about the fact that, you know, the legends of the game, like Nicholas and Gary Player and Tom Watson, you know, they were all part of this Masters history, would talk about, you know, that Rory should win multiple green jackets. And they did that with Tiger. If you remember, I believe that Jack Nicklaus said, you know, a long time ago that Tiger was going to win more green jackets than Jack and Arnie combined. And he didn't, but, you know, Rory admitted that was a lot of pressure on him. He said those are his idols in the game, but he goes, I wish they hadn't said that, you know? That's the cool thing about Rory is he really is, he has a charm about him that he lets you in. You know what I mean? Tiger Woods has never let anybody in his life. And most players don't. But, I mean, Tiger was like a steel trap in terms of you wanted to know what his feelings were and what his emotions were. Rory lays them all out there on the table and always has. But I will say, leading into this, like the pre-tournament interview and speaking to him prior to this tournament, he clearly was on a mode to try to deflect all of that stuff and not give as many introspective answers as he always does. But all of that ended on that 18th green because he poured it all out on the 18th green, which you saw, obviously, but even afterwards was very candid about the pressure that was on him and the burden of expectation and the effect. Because, you mentioned completing the career Grand Slam. This was not just about winning a Masters and completing the career Grand Slam. He hadn't won a major championship since 2014, period. It's not like he just hadn't won a Masters, but he picked off a PGA there or another British Open here. He hadn't done anything. And this is a guy that's been stuck, on with no majors for 11 years. So it was all mounting. And I'm quite fascinating to see, how this liberates him with this. In fact, the first thing that Rory said in his press conference, he said, I'd like to start this press conference with asking everybody. He wasn't being he was being fun about it. He wasn't being a tweaking about it. But he said, I really want to know what we're going to talk about next year in terms of the narrative, right? Because, now the narrative is, okay, when are you going to get your second green jacket, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's cool. It's cool to see it all unfold like that and see a guy that's willing to put the chin out there. He said it, a bunch of times in months leading it. He said, I go through 10, 15 of these heartbreaks just to get one more of these. And now he's gotten it. So I'm curious to see where this goes now, because this was really the last piece to the puzzle, really. I can't imagine he's not going to forge ahead with more majors now.
Yeah, if he were honest about it, I don't know how you were thinking, feeling, but after the 18th hole before the playoff, when he's had this round with a double bogey on one, a double bogey on 13. Every time he'd had that two or three shot lead, a double bogey falling apart, and gets to 18 and has an opportunity to win the tournament, and all he has to do is par it. And because Justin Rose, who shoots a 66 and plays so valiantly to put the pressure on Rory McIlroy, and Justin Rose sinking the long par putt on 18, the birdie putt on 18, to put the pressure on, and Rory has to make par. And once again, he, messes up on 18 and makes bogey. And now you've got a one-hole playoff, a sudden-death playoff, that goes back to 18, the hole that Justin Rose just birdied, Rory McIlroy just bogeyed, and now they've got to replay 18. And I don't know what you were thinking, feeling, or what Rory was in that moment, but I think most people were sitting there thinking, this is it, it's done. He's not going to win this thing. And then sticks, and it's not like Rose was playing poorly on 18.
No.
That he, McIlroy, to have the wherewithal at that point after you've seemingly blown the damn thing, and then to be able to stick that second shot on 18 in the playoff, 2 feet from the hole, to make it actually almost an unmissable putt. At that point, the magnitude of pressure and ability to come through after you have choked at times on this roller coaster, I just thought that was such an incredible, incredible shot.
It really was. And, a really, really fascinating, cool anecdote to relate to that, Lori, is after he misses that little 4-foot putt on 18 in regulation, and that now they got to go to the scoring and, sign for his, for his round and then get ready for the playoff, Harry Diamond, who's his caddy and has been his friend, best friend since he was 7 years old, he said to Rory, as they were just about to get on the cart to be driven out to 18 to the playoff, He said, you know, he goes, if the start of the week they said we're going to be in a playoff to win a Masters, sudden death, you'd have given your right arm for that. So, and Rory said afterwards that just little nudge and that little calming moment with his caddy, with Harry, was, he said, it was so incredibly easy to reset. He said that really, really helped him reset, you know, for that 18th hole in the playoff, because he was like, you know, we all listen. I golf. I know you and I have chatted. I know you love to golf. You know, you put yourself on that 18th tee and you're thinking yourself, first of all, how am I even going to make contact with the ball after what I've just done? Right.
Yeah.
And second of all, it shows pretty well on television, but if you stand on that back tee on 18, I'm telling you, it is a freaking tunnel. It is tight. And obviously you got to rip one. And I mean, it's so easy to just go be a little bit off and clip a tree and then you're done. Because on either side, you know, as you go down that tee box at a couple hundred yards down, it's just like a tunnel of trees. And I mean, I think it shows pretty well on TV, but I mean, when you're there, it's even more remarkable. It's suffocating, really, you know? And I just thought to myself, I could see him just flaring some driver, clipping a tree, down on the pine straw, punching out, and, you know, off he goes, heartbroken again. And, you know, somehow, I mean, you know, Rose had a really good, you know, Rose had honors too, which is very interesting, right? So so Rose, I guess they flipped the coin. Rose has honors, which is a bit of an advantage, because if you hit a good tee shot, that puts the pressure on the next person, right? And, of course, Rose was a little bit, he wasn't as far, he didn't drive it as far as Rory, so now he still has honors, so to speak. And he hits a really, really good shot. Oh, that almost, he almost jarred the thing on the fly, and it's only maybe 10 feet above the hole, very makeable putt. And that puts pressure on Rory. Now, Rory, who has just flared one into the bunker in regulation, you know, he goes and just stuffs 1 to 2 feet, like you said. So yeah, you know, when you go to that, you're kind of projecting yourself, like, how would I possibly handle that? And you know, I really believe that some of the stuff, I mean, listen, Rory has to pull the shots off and all that. You could be cynical about a sports psychologist, but I do believe that a lot of the stuff that he worked on with Rotella, he very much stuck to, because a lot of it was about resilience and just not, you know, just, you know, being, you know, steely and he showed that he was very locked in all week, even when stuff was going badly, you know. And yeah, let's, sure, he made some unbelievable mistakes, you know, 13 being the most ridiculous one, quite frankly. I mean, you and I could have stood there and flipped a wedge under that green with our eyes closed. Okay. And I don't know. I mean, you know, it just had to be, usually when somebody misses right like that, which Rory did on really on 13 and also quite frankly on 18 in regulation, I saw Colin Montgomery do that when he had a chance to win the US Open at Wingfoot when Mickelson choked. And he had a 7-iron in his hands and flared one. The nerve, if you're playing your friends and you're playing a match for some money or whatever, the nervous tendency is to hit a weak fade. And that's exactly what happened. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. We saw history on Sunday at the Masters at Augusta. And as is tradition, I talked to Mark Canizzaro from the New York Post about it. Mark, thanks so much. Safe travels home. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori. Talk to you soon.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.